with your Holy Spirit as we look within its pages. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now the part of the chapter that I wanted to focus on is the latter part of Romans chapter 12. And the title of my sermon is found in verse number 19 where it says, "Give place unto wrath." Give place unto wrath. That's the title of the sermon. Now wrath, of course, is what? Extreme anger, right? A burning anger. And I want to talk a little bit about anger this morning. Now, here's the thing. This is something that a lot of people, I think, are confused about. A lot of people think that anger is just a sin, just outright, that it's a sin to be angry, and that's just simply not true. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read you a few scriptures. Mark chapter 3, verse 5 says, and this is talking about Jesus Christ himself, "And when he had looked round about on them with anger," this is talking about Jesus, filled with anger, "being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." So if anger were a sin, you know, then Jesus would not have been experiencing anger and being filled with anger. You think of the time when Jesus threw the money changers and those who sold sheep and doves out of the temple. Why? Because he was angry. Here it says he was filled with anger. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not." So if it were a sin to be angry, it would be impossible to be angry and sin not at one time. But anger can be something that can consume you and be very damaging to you if you don't know how to give place to that anger. Give place unto wrath. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to show you a lot of these scriptures. And, you know, this is some scriptures that helped me this week. Because, you know, this week some things happened and I was filled with extreme anger. I was filled with wrath. And, you know, there are going to be times in your life when you're filled with anger. Even Jesus was filled with anger. But we need to learn how to handle that anger, I guess you could say. There are so many bad things that happen in this world. You see things happen to people. You see things that aren't fair. You see things that aren't right, that are wicked. And you can become consumed with anger. But look at verse number 17. That's where we'll start reading. The Bible says in verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." What does evil mean? Evil doesn't just mean sin. Evil is when you're harming someone else. Okay, that's what evil means. For example, God does evil in the Bible. The Bible talks about the Lord doing evil, but does God sin? Absolutely not. Evil is when you harm someone. It's not always wrong to harm someone. For example, the executioner who puts the murderer to death is not sinning. He's doing what God told us to do. The Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And so that's evil, but it's not a sin. It's not wrong. But the Bible says here, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." That's talking about when someone harms you. When somebody hurts you or does you wrong, he's saying don't recompense to them evil for evil. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now look if you would, at Psalm 73. Psalm chapter 73. If you open the very center of your Bible, you'll probably fall in the book of Psalms. Psalm 73. See, anger is something that is going to be part of our lives. You're not going to go through life never being angry. And if you do, then that's not even right anyway, because there are times when we ought to be angry. There are things that we should be angry about. There are things that Jesus was angry about, things that we're commanded to be angry about. But what is it that's going to comfort us and cause us to put away that anger? Well, God explained it to us in Romans 12. He said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." The reason that we don't need to just be consumed by anger, the reason that we don't have to always pay everybody back when they do us wrong or avenge ourselves, is that we have the comfort as Christians of knowing that God will avenge us. God will set the record straight. God will bring justice. You see, we look at a lot of things and we see injustice. We see someone do wrong or hurt us or hurt someone else. It makes us angry. But what's going to help us not to be so angry is to remember that one day God will balance the scale. One day it'll all be set straight. Here's a great example. Look at Psalm 73. You may have felt this way. This is Asaph who's speaking. He said in verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Watch verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Watch verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. We'll finish reading in a moment. But here's a man who looks around the world and he says, wait a minute. All these good and righteous people are suffering. He said, I've done what's right. I've studied the Bible. I've preached the gospel. I've been in church. I've kept the commandments. And yet I'm chastened and plagued every morning. And then I look at these people over here who are wicked people, ungodly people. He said they're violent people. I mean, people who violently harm others, people who oppress others, steal from them. He said they're the ones who are in prosperity. They look up to heaven and blaspheme God and blaspheme the Lord. And nothing ever seems to go wrong. It seems like they just get away with all their wrongdoing. I mean, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever looked at people who are wicked and ungodly and said, why is it that they just get away with it? There's no justice. There's no punishment. There's no righteousness. And then you look at those who do what's right. You see them suffer. You see them go through all this pain and everything. Well, this is what he's feeling. And he's getting upset and angry about it. And he's saying, you know, this isn't right. But then he said, well, you know, if I speak thus, if I say this, he said, I don't want to offend against the generation of thy children, he said in verse number 15. You know, I don't want to say this out loud, he's saying, because, you know, my children are listening, and I don't want them to think, oh yeah, live a wicked life, an ungodly life, that's the way to prosper in the world. But he's saying to himself, but you know, in my mind, that's the way I'm seeing it. He's saying, the wicked are the ones who prosper in this world. They increase in riches. He's saying, you know, this isn't right. But look what got him straight. It says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, verse 17. He said, this is the way I felt. I was angry. I was upset. I didn't think it was fair. I was wondering, where is God during all of this? But he said, wait a minute, I went to church. I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. So what was it that comforted him in this? He said, you know what, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, one day God will punish the wicked. It says in verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reign. Now he feels like a fool, he's saying. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. This is where he finally realized and said, wait a minute. Yes, I'm suffering. Yes, I'm going through hard times. Yes, the wicked and the ungodly laugh in the face of God. They spit in the eye of God. They're violent and oppressive toward their neighbor. But he said, wait a minute. They will go to destruction, and I'm going to heaven. He said, one day I'm going to heaven. He mentioned there. He said, I'm going to be received up into glory. They're going to be destroyed in a moment and cast into hell. Why would I waste my time being angry or upset or frustrated about prosperity that they have? just for the blink of an eye. The Bible says that what is life? But even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And we get so worked up and so mad, and myself included, about the injustice that we see, about the wrong things that we see, but we need to stop and think and say, wait a minute, God will repay. He'll repay both the good and the wicked. I mean, those who do good are going to be recompensed, and those who do evil are going to be recompensed. We don't have to take it into our own hands. We don't have to be frustrated and think, oh, there's never going to be a recompense. Look if you would, look at James chapter 1. In the New Testament, toward the end of the New Testament, James chapter 1. Now, is anger a sin? No. But should we be filled with anger and consumed with anger constantly? Should we go through our lives just mad people, just angry, upset, just wake up mad, go to bed mad? Absolutely not. The Bible says, while you're turning there, I'll read you another scripture. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And so our anger is not something that we should take with us from day to day, right? We may get angry about something today. There may be a righteous cause for us to become angry, but we shouldn't take that anger into tomorrow. We should be able to go to bed tonight when the sun goes down and we get to our house and it's over. We should be able to let go of all that anger. Say, well, how am I going to let it go? You don't know what so-and-so did to me, or you don't know what happened to my friend, or you don't know what I see going on. Wait a minute. God will repay. Let that be a comfort to you and say, look, God will repay. The Bible says, pray for them that persecute you. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I mean, people who have hate in their heart as they use you and abuse you. He said, pray for them, love them, and bless them. Why? Because look, they will be punished anyway. Pray that God will be merciful to them. You don't have to sit there and try to bring on their end or take it into your own hands or avenge yourself, because God will take care of it anyway. Keep your heart right by loving your enemies, blessing them that persecute you, doing good to them that hate you. Look, if you would, at James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The same thing is found in Titus 1:7. You don't have to turn there, but it says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy to filthy lucre. You see, anger is not wrong, but if we're just angry at the drop of a hat, that is wrong. Because he said here, be slow to wrath, right? Don't just get angry in a moment, in an instant. He's saying, slow down. If you're going to become angry, be angry for a reason that matters. And he's saying, don't just fly off the handle, but rather be slow to wrath, right? Nothing wrong with anger, nothing wrong with wrath, but don't be soon angry. Don't be quick to wrath. I think of, I've turned there, Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So being angry with someone for no reason is a sin. Being angry quickly and soon without thinking it through, without having a chance to stop and realize the situation, that is wrong. We should be in control of ourselves. We should have temperance. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the nine fruit of the Spirit, they're listed: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? And another one that's listed, temperance. Have you ever heard of someone losing their temper? Okay? That's talking about someone just going out of control, right? Just flying out of control, okay? God's saying, look, have anger, but control your anger. Have wrath, but be in control of that wrath, and don't just go through life an angry person. I mean, you shouldn't describe yourself. You say, well, how would you describe Pastor Anderson? He's the most angry person I've ever met in my life. Now, people who know me would not describe me that. Now, people have seen me become extremely angry. But is that who I am to you, just a really angry person? No. I mean, people who come over to my house, people who go to work with me, people who spend time with me, know that I'm a positive person, that I'm, having a good time, smiling, joking around. But you know what? You don't want to be just an angry person. You don't want to just be at 10 o'clock, you're angry. At 11 o'clock, you're angry. At noon, you guess it, angry. You know, 1 o'clock, I'm mad. Ah, you know, the Bible says, for example, in Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Now, is that saying that, you know, Jesus, we shouldn't be friends with him because he got angry? No, it's not saying with anyone who becomes angry, but with someone who's just an angry man. Just every time. And I've known people like this. I mean, I remember there was a guy that I used to work with back in Sacramento. This guy was angry every day. And he was angry all day. I mean, I'd get to work in the morning, and he'd just be grumbling, slamming stuff around. And it was funny because this guy was the best paid guy in the company. Okay. You know, every company kind of has that prima donna who can kind of act however they want just because they're so good at their job. Well, that's how this guy was. He was so good at his job. He was so valuable to the company that even though he just was the most angry person, just blew off his mouth, refused to do stuff, he got paid more than anybody because he was very talented. But this was the angriest guy that I've ever known. And I mean, this guy would just, you'd say something nice to him and he'd just yell at you and just rail on you. I mean, this guy was just a jerk, okay? I mean, there's no other way to describe it. I mean, he's rude and angry. And that's what the Bible's talking about, just somebody who's just bitter all the time. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness springing up in you, just making you mad all the time. You're just angry all the time. That's how this guy was. Well, one time, I remember I walked up to him. And he was always angry, he was always rude, but this time just took the cake. One time I walk up to him, we're on this job, and I just said something to him very nicely. And just a very nice, normal thing to say, and boy, he just laid into me. He wasn't even mad at me, he was mad about something totally different, but he just started railing on me and chewing me out and screaming at me. Okay. And I mean, I stood there, and there was another guy standing next to him. And the other guy was just blown away, like, why are you saying this to, you know, what did he do? And, you know, I stood there and looked at him while he just railed on me. And, you know, I just walked away. I just walked away, and then, you know what, later I just acted like nothing had happened, and I was polite to him and friendly to him at lunchtime. Well, it's interesting, because that same guy after that was never rude to me again. Never again. I mean, this guy was rude to everybody. He was mean to everybody. He was mad at everybody. But from that day forward, he was just really not. I don't know if he just felt bad or something because he had just chewed me out for nothing to such an extreme. But from then on, we actually were buddies. And I mean, we'd go out of town together because, you know, I had to go out of town a lot. You know, you'd be staying in the hotel room. You'd go to dinner together after work and everything. And, you know, this guy was friendly to me. He was nice to me from that day forward. You know, and so that was overcoming evil with good. Okay, that was not just saying, well, who do you think you are, you know, and just basically retaliating is what I'm saying. What would it have accomplished? Nothing. He would have been the same jerk that he always was. Nothing would have changed. But at least this way, he stopped and thought about it and said, wait a minute. You know, here's somebody who's been nothing but nice to me. Even after I railed on him, 2 hours later, he's being nice to me. He's doing something nice for me. You know, that made an impression on him, okay? And what I'm trying to say is that anger, though it's not wrong, is not something that you want to characterize you and be a part of you. And don't be angry about nothing. He said if you're angry with your brother without a cause, that's a sin. Just getting angry at somebody over nothing, or over something tiny, or something small. Or you're soon angry. You know, somebody does the littlest thing and you just blow up, right? I mean, somebody just... I'm trying to think of an example, but you know, let's say somebody backs into you in the parking lot, right? You're out in the parking lot, and somebody just barely backs into you. Because I've seen this in a church parking lot, where people are backing out and everything like that. Because you know, when the service is over, some churches everybody's like trying to get to lunch really fast, and so somebody just barely backed into somebody. I mean, the smallest little bit. I mean, it was nothing, and got out and just started screaming at somebody in the church parking lot. I mean, is that really worth flipping out about a little dent in your car? I mean, it's just your car doesn't look as wonderful anymore. It's just a little cosmetic damage. You know, chill out. You don't have to sit there and just flip out and fly off the handle. You know, have you ever heard the expression, there's no use crying over spilled milk? You know, you drop the milk, or, you know. Okay, that's what the Bible's talking about. Just somebody who's just enraged all the time. Furious about it. You know, just mad about the dumbest little things. If you're going to get mad about something that matters. I mean, when Jesus got angry, look what he got angry about. People were using his house to sell things, right? They were selling merchandise in God's house. He said, "You've made my Father's house a house of merchandise." That's when he became angry and showed forth his wrath. When else did Jesus become angry? When the Pharisees and the Sadducees were condemning him for healing someone on the Sabbath day. You know, they didn't mind because their hand worked perfectly. This guy had a withered hand. His right hand, he was unable to use it, unable to work right. He was in a lot of pain. Jesus had compassion on the guy. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't care about him at all. All they cared about was their warped religion, where they had twisted God's word. Hey, that made Jesus angry when people twisted the Bible and perverted his house. But did he get angry because somebody spilled a glass of milk? Did he get angry because somebody gave him a door ding in the parking lot? You know, and sometimes we can just be on a hair trigger to just burst out in anger because we're just angry people. And that's what God's telling us. No, don't be soon angry. Don't be angry from one day to the other. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. We should have peace in our lives to where we can go to bed at night with peace. You know, we can sit down and be peaceful and have joy and not just be filled with anger all the time. Look at another scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, you know, then there are some people that just never get mad. And that can be kind of irritating too. Because there are some things... listen to me. There are some things that you ought to get mad about. You know, you see, some pastors are such a pacifist and they're so not angry that they can't preach anything negative. You know, and obviously about more than half the Bible's negative. I mean, there's the negative and there's the positive. They can't preach anything negative. They're just so soft and cuddly, you know, that they'll just get up and just love you, okay? But they can't get up and breathe fire and get angry about sin. Get angry about what the devil's doing. Get angry about the destruction of our country. Hey, somebody needs to get mad. Somebody needs to get angry about it. I think of King Saul. I don't have this in my sermon notes, but King Saul in the Old Testament, his whole nation was going into bondage. They were having to give all their money to a foreign nation, and then the king of that nation told them all they had to punch out their right eye. They said, "Okay, we'll give you all our money." He said, "No, that's not good enough. I don't want you guys to be a threat to me. So what I'm going to do is make all of the men that are able-bodied men of a fighting age have to have their eye. We're going to put out your eye. We're going to poke out, you know, we're going to burn out your right eye. That way you'll be unable to fight us." That made Saul mad. He said no. And everybody else was just kind of backing down and scared and would not fight the Ammonites. Saul, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was filled with anger. That's the same sentence. Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he's filled with anger. You say, "Oh, anger, you're in the flesh when you're angry." No, not necessarily. There's a man who the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, caused him to be angry and get mad about what was going on, mad when he saw the oppression of others, mad when he saw violence against other people. He said, "Hey, I'm going to do something about it. I'm mad about this." And he chopped up an oxen, remember? And he mailed it out and said, "This is what I'm going to do to your oxen," okay? And he rallied all those people behind him and went out and fought and won the battle, okay? So there's a time for anger. Those who are never angry, those who never experience anger, they're not right either. That just means they don't care. They don't care what's going on. They don't care about their neighbor. You know, to see your neighbor or your brother suffer wrongfully ought to make you angry. If it doesn't, you don't care. You don't have compassion. But you've got to give place to wrath. Give place to that anger. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you. Verse 26 we already read, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." But look down at verse number 31. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Get the context here. The sentence isn't over yet. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So what's the wrong kind of anger? Well, the wrong kind of anger is when you're soon angry. Angry over the littlest thing. Angry at the drop of a hat. What kind of anger is wrong? The anger that goes with you from day to day to day where you can't let it go. What kind of anger is wrong? The kind of anger that comes from a lack of forgiveness of someone who's wronged you. Here he says, put away the anger and wrath and bitterness, because he says you need to be kind to one another. Verse 32. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If Jesus has forgiven you of all your sins, he's saying, you ought to be able to forgive other people. When people do you wrong, you've got to forgive. You've got to let things go. Now, that's easier said than done. Now, I've been guilty, obviously, of wrongful anger. There have been times when I've been consumed with... You know, this week, I was just filled with anger for a while this week. You know, a bunch of things happened to me. I got hit with like a bunch of things in a row. You know, it was just like, boom, you know, when it rains, it pours, right? Just boom, 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 boom. And I was just livid. I was just enraged. I was just filled with anger. But, you know, I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I need to put off this anger. I'm not going to take this anger with me. I can't just go through life angry. I need to put this away. And these are some of the things that helped me get rid of the anger. Number one, forgiveness, right? Forgiving those who've done me wrong. Number two, remembering that God, the God of vengeance, will make all things right one day. Because the most frustrating thing is when you just feel like people are just getting away with the wrong that they're doing. That's what's frustrating. But see, those of us who believe the Bible know that that is never true. It's never true. You say, what if that person's saved? Well, there are two kinds of people in this world, those who are saved and those who are not saved. Those who are saved are those who believe on Jesus Christ. Those who are not saved are unbelievers. Now, it has nothing to do with how you live or your good works. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So anyone who believes on Christ is saved, if they truly believe on Jesus Christ. Those who do not believe are the ones who will not be saved. The Bible's clear. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's not by living a good life. It's not by going to church. It's not by being baptized. It's not by any of those things. If we had to keep the commandments to be saved, none of us are saved. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. I'm sure that I sin on a daily basis. I don't think I go a whole day without thinking or doing or saying one thing wrong that whole day. I'm not perfect, and I've never even gone a perfect day, and neither have you, if you'd be honest with yourself. Two kinds of people, saved and unsaved. Those who are unsaved, who do wrong, who harm others, who oppress others, who do us wrong and lie about us and persecute us and slander us. One day they're going to go to hell. And boy, that is plenty of punishment. We don't need to do anything to avenge ourselves. Because one day they'll go to hell. You know, you look at our society. Pedophiles destroy the life of a young child, right? Ruin and destroy and warp that child at a very young age, and they get out of jail in an average of 4 years. I mean, violent criminals, right? Defile, destroy, abuse. The Bible says that they should be put to death. That's what the Bible says. But they're just let out, and we can become angry at that and say, God, why? And you say, well, it doesn't make me angry. What about when it happens to someone that you love? Right? What about when it's someone that, when it's a friend of yours? You know, a friend of mine's daughter this happened to. And boy, I was enraged. I was angry. I was filled with anger. You know, some of my extended family had this happen to them. Man, I was filled with rage and anger. But you know what? I don't find any comfort in the justice system in the United States, which has nothing to do with justice. There's no justice in this country anymore. But let me tell you something. God's justice will not fail. No one goes through with these kind of wicked actions without being punished by God. And that the people who committed these sins will burn in the lowest hell for their violence and wickedness against others. So we got those that are unsaved. Okay? Then there are those who are saved. Okay? Now those who are saved are not going to go to hell, no matter what they do. Okay? Because they have eternal life. God has given them eternal life. He said, they shall never perish. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, even if you don't keep my commandments, he said, I'll punish you, I'll chasten you. But he said, I will not utterly take away my mercy from you. You know, you'll still be saved, you'll still go to heaven. But the believer is punished in this life. The unbeliever is punished in the next life. He may go through his whole life and seemingly get away with everything. But when he breathes his last breath, he'll breathe the next breath in hell. And everything will be settled. But then there is the believer, right? Now, by the way, no believer is a pedophile. And let me tell you why. Because the Bible teaches very clearly in Romans chapter 1 that the only reason that people do these kind of beastly things, I'm talking about homosexuality, you know, oh man, I can't believe you said, I don't care what's politically correct or not. You know, hang all this politically correct, hang all this watered down, lying garbage. This is let me introduce you, the Holy Bible, written by God, before you were born and after you're dead, this book will still say the same thing that it always said. If a man lieth with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. That's Leviticus 20:13. That's what the Bible says. The Bible describes homosexuality as vile affections, as filthy, use the word filthy, use the word strange. It's always the last step on the downward spiral of a society. Read the Bible. It's the last mode. And if you read Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that when people reject God and reject Him and reject Him and reject Him, the Bible says that God rejects them and turns them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. They become like animals, and that's where they get involved in these wicked things, homosexuality, pedophilia, other abominable, violent, rape, all these different things. He said it's because God gave them up. He gave them over, and they've lost all conscience. They're past feeling, the Bible says. And so, but Christians can still do wrong. I mean, Christians can still, you know, you'll see Christians that commit adultery, even in the Bible. Adultery, murder, whatever. Stealing, wrong. And, you know, there could be somebody who's a believer who does you wrong and hurts you and harms you, steals from you, okay, does something against you. And, you know, what's going to happen to them? I've heard people say this. Oh man, you're going to answer to God for that someday, like to a believer. And they think that when they get to heaven, there's going to be some punishment or something. No, the Bible says that our sins have been separated us as far as the east is from the west, those of us who believe. So you say, wait a minute. So if a believer does us wrong, does that mean they're getting off scot-free? No, because the Bible says that in this world, when it comes to going to heaven, it's all forgiven and forgotten. But in this world, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so the believer who does wrong will get what's coming to him in this life. That's God's hand of chastening. That's God's hand of discipline in this life. But let's say we look at that and say, you know what, that's not enough of a punishment. Well, wait a minute. Do we want to be punished for everything that we've done wrong in our life? I mean, our fellow brother in Christ is experiencing the same grace and forgiveness that we have. Hey, we ought to just be thankful and say, you know what? This is my brother in Christ. I'm just going to forgive and let it go. You know, God will chasten him. God will deal with him. But you know what? That's fine. He's saved. I'm saved. We're brothers in Christ. We're going to heaven and forgive and let it go. But you know, no one gets away with anything is what I'm trying to say. The unbeliever pays in hell, which is far more terrible than anything we could imagine or do to them on this earth. I mean, somebody may do something to us, and we'd want to go take a gun and kill them, right? I mean, think of the woman. There was a woman whose son was molested. You remember? And she smuggled a gun into the courtroom and blew the guy away. You remember that? And I was cheering. Yeah. Woo! Yes. Finally, somebody carried out justice. But you know what? The problem is, you know, there are times when we see that and you know, we just want to take a gun and just go kill these people. You know what I mean? Just go kill them all. Kill these bunch of freaks and pedophiles and violent perverts and let's just go kill them. But you know what? We ought to just stop and say, you know what? God's going to kill them. And God's going to send them to hell. We don't have to take it into our own hands. God has called us to live a life of peace. Okay? To go through our life as much as is possible in peace. And you know, we could go out and carry out the justice. You know, and you know, that was her son. I'm not throwing any stones at her, because that was her son. But what I'm saying is, if we just decide to take up the sword, okay, and just go out and finish these people off, you know, that's going to take us away from what God has put us here to do. Because, you know, we can't be the justice system for the United States. There's 300 million people. What we ought to do is spend our time getting people saved, preaching the gospel, winning souls, and saying, you know what? Go ahead, laugh, spit in the eye of God. Go ahead, judge. Let these people off with a slap on the wrist. You're not the real judge. God's the real judge, and they will be punished one day whether they like it or not. Whether some judge somewhere, some pompous judge, some jerk who's letting these people off like a revolving door, sending them out the door after they violently harm children. You know, and by the way, any judge that does that ought to be taken and flogged or something. Any judge is a partaker of their evil deeds, who's going to stand up and sit on the judge and stand by the bench and picture justice, picture right and wrong, and then just, oh, okay, here's 3 years in jail. Here's 4 years in jail. You phony, you hypocrite. Why don't you pick up the Bible and learn what right and wrong is, what justice is? And by the way, if the Bible isn't true, then there is no right and wrong. If we're all a bunch of animals anyway, right? Which is what the public school will teach and what our society... If we're a bunch of animals, let's just go eat, drink, and be merry and act like an animal until we die. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is true. Heaven is real, and hell is real, and these are God's rules and God's laws, and nobody has any right to stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong, if it contradicts the Bible. Some judge stands up and says, oh, 5 years in prison. You are unjust, you're a liar, and you need to get off the bench. Period. Any judge, you know, oh, the people seem to bow down and worship our government or something. Like, oh, the Supreme Court said... I don't care what the stupid Supreme Court said. You said, oh, it's stupid. How do you say it's stupid? The Supreme Court has institutionalized the slaughter of babies. Oh, Supreme Court. Oh, you're the final say. Oh, you're right. You're the picture of justice and right and wrong. No, you know what? The Supreme Court is a picture of godlessness, of wickedness, of evil. And that's what they are. They're an evil group. All nine of them are evil. Did you hear me? I said they're evil. None of them stand up for what's right. None of them care what this book says. They set up their own righteousness, their own right and wrong. And you say, what are we going to do about it? You know what we're going to do about it? Nothing. God will take care of it. That's what I'm trying to say. God will recompense. God will repay. I'm not going to spend my life foaming at the mouth about how bad the Supreme Court is and about how bad our justice system is and about all the people I know who've been hurt and harmed. Hey, I'm going to go to bed tonight with peace in my heart, knowing that God is a God that will judge the earth. That's what I'm saying. And so if you would, look back at Psalm 58. Psalm chapter 58, right in the middle of your Bible. You say, I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you so mad about? You know what? There's a lot to be mad about. And again, if you're one of these people that's just never mad, you probably just don't care. But if you do care, you'd get mad about this stuff. But you know what? You can't just be consumed by it. You got to give place to that wrath. You got to say, you know what? I'm angry about this, but thank God that God is is the judge of the earth. Thank God, God will set the record straight. You know, so-and-so has done me wrong. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to bless them because I've been forgiven by Christ. And I'm going to rely on God to do what He thinks is right and what He thinks is fair. But look at Psalm 58. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? So this is kind of the same, you know, we look at our justice system in America and say, do ye judge uprightly? O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth their ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be as cut in pieces. Now these are some pretty strong words that David's saying, right? He's saying, break their teeth. Let them be cut in pieces as a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman that may not see the sun. What's that talking about? Who's ever salted a snail or salted a slug? Who knows what I'm talking about? Be honest. It's okay. You're among friends. Okay? You know, you see the slug. When I was a kid, You'd see a slug or a snail on the sidewalk after it rained, and then it would dry out. The sun would come out, and you'd see all the slugs and snails. What do you always yell to your brother and sister? Quick, go grab the salt shaker. You know, you run in, you get the salt shaker, and you put the salt on them, and you watch them melt. Right? Who's done it? Be honest. Okay. PETA is not listening in or anything. Okay, well, that's what this is talking about. This is what David's saying. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. Like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth the earth. Now get your attitude right, okay? This is what the Bible's saying. There's nothing wrong with vengeance. Let me give you another word for vengeance. Justice. See, justice is a word you like, but vengeance is the same word. They both mean the same thing. Justice, vengeance. Nothing wrong with vengeance. And you know what? Vengeance needs to be carried out. And there's nothing wrong with rejoicing when you see the vengeance. But what I'm here to say is that vengeance does not belong to you. Vengeance is the Lord's. God will repay. Vengeance belongs to him. It's not for you to take up the sword and go carry out vengeance and avenge yourself. It's rather your job to say, you know what? I'm going to forgive. I'm going to pardon. I'm going to love those that hate me. I'm going to bless them. And you know what? God said he'll heap coals of fire upon their head if need be when we love and bless our enemies. Imagine God looking down upon you, seeing others wrong you, seeing others hurt you and harm you and lie about you. You know, a few weeks ago I was lied about. Actually, I'm lied about like every day. I am, honestly. But you know, I was lied about in business. You know, when people lie about me on the internet or something, like, I don't care about that. When people lie about me as a pastor, so what, you know? That happens like every 5 minutes. But when people lie about me in business, okay, this is affecting me now, okay? Because, you know, someone will lie about, this is what happened. A couple weeks ago, somebody made a mistake, okay? They set up an appointment for my company to be somewhere at a certain time, but they just never told us about it. Okay? They never told us that we were supposed to be there. We had no clue about it. They just set up an appointment, and they had planned on calling me and sending me out to do this job, so they had other people there to meet me and everything, but they just forgot to tell me or anyone in my whole company about this appointment. Well, then they call me up and say, hey, you were supposed to be at such and such a place at 8 o'clock on this day, and you weren't there. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You never called me. You never emailed me. I've never heard of this job. What are you talking about? And guess what? That person was realizing, hey, they made a mistake. But you know what they did? They went and construed it to the company as, oh, yeah, so-and-so didn't, you know, Anderson Fire didn't show. Now, you can imagine that's going to make me mad, right? Somebody didn't tell me about an appointment. I have no way of knowing. Okay? They made the mistake by forgetting to call me, and then they construed it to the company as Anderson Fire didn't show up. Now, that makes me look like a flake, right? Like I was supposed to be somewhere, and I just was a no-show. Now, who do you think would get a little mad if somebody did something like that to you? I mean, you'd get mad, right? Like, good night, you know what I mean? You're trying to cover up for your mistake by blaming it on me, and I didn't even do anything wrong. I didn't even know about it. Okay? These are the kind of things where, you know, people do that to you. You get angry. You get mad. But you know what? You got to be able to just forgive and just say, you know what? I'm going to work hard, and in the long run, you know, God's going to make sure that I get recompense for my hard work. You know, and if other people lie and cheat, so be it. You know, cheaters never prosper. Because God is the judge in heaven. And so that's what I'm talking about. You know, and you know, maybe you're having trouble relating to the examples that I'm giving. You know, I'm talking about things in our country that make me mad about the injustice in our country. I'm talking about things in the business world that can happen that can make you mad, people lying about you. And you know, who's ever had somebody on the job tell a lie about you in order to cover up for their own mistake? You know what I mean? Probably the whole thing goes, you know, they make a mistake and they just want to kind of put it off on you. But you know what? Just let it go. Don't worry about it. You don't have to go set the record straight and go in the boss's office and say, you know, I'm not going to call down there and say, hey, your guy's the one who messed up. He never even called us. You know what? I'm just going to say, you know what, God? You handle it, God. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to prosper. And people like that are not going to prosper because eventually it's going to catch up with them. And so we got to understand what to do with anger. Don't let it consume you. Because you, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your anger, your continual wrath is not what's going to accomplish God's purpose in your life. Okay? You have to just decide, you know what? I got to let God be the judge. I got to let God be God. I'm not just going to be an angry person. I'm not just going to be mad all the time. And look, do you want to go through life just mad all the time? It's not good for your health. Right? People have health problems from stress and anger all the time. You know, somebody, I remember I was at the doctor. You know how they give these questionnaires to fill out. Here, fill out this clipboard while you're waiting. It's like 100 pages. You're like, what? You start getting a cramp in your hand. You're just filling it out, and you're like, and I always take it up to them and just say, like, do I really have to fill all this out? And they're like, just fill out what you're comfortable with. I'm like, okay, here's my address. All right, there you go. You know, who knows what I'm talking about? Like, have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? Have you ever had this pain, this sickness, this, blah, blah, blah? You know, it goes. And then I was filling one of these out, okay? And it said, like, do you have a plan for, like, either prayer, meditation, yoga? You know, it's like listing all, you know, Buddhism. It's like listing all these things, like, you know, a prayer. Are you on a prayer regimen? Or like, you know, whatever. And it's like, listen, you know, and they obviously don't even understand what prayer is. They're just grouping it in with like, you know. Like, but the reason that they're asking that is because they know that obviously it's good for you, like, to find some way to calm down and relax a little bit and not to just always be on edge. And you know what? This, I probably need this sermon more than anybody here. Because, I mean, seriously, sometimes I wake up in the morning, and I'm just like, you know, go, 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 and I'll just go till nighttime, you know, just, and earlier this week, I worked for 24 hours straight. I got up at 5:30 in the morning, and worked without break until 5:30 the next morning, okay, and I was just work, some of that was driving. The closest thing to a break was when I was driving. You know, I spent a few hours driving, I spent about 5 hours of that driving and 19 hours physically working, pulling wire, mounting boxes, drilling holes. You know what? And that's not good for you to just get up and just go, go, go. You know, you got to sit down and relax, you know? And, you know, praying obviously can bring you peace. When you pray, the Bible says casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Okay? When you can pray and ask God to take care of some of the problems, then you can just relax and say, you know what? We know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We can pray about, instead of stressing about things, you know, pray that God will handle it, and then just say, you know what, it's out of my hands. I prayed about it. God's going to take care of it. I'm not saying that you should do transcendental meditation. You know, no, I'm just kidding. I don't recommend that. But, you know, sitting down and reading the Bible can bring you comfort. You know, praying. Just relaxing. Settling down. Don't ever go to bed angry and agitated and mad. You know, when you go to bed and put your head on the pillow, you should have forgiveness in your heart toward everyone. Let it all go. Go to bed in peace. And wake up the next morning and start a brand new day. You know, wait for something to make you angry. You know what I mean? Don't start out angry. Okay? At least wait for somebody to really burn you bad before you get angry. You know, don't just go into it angry. Right? If you start out the day angry, that's not going to be a good day. That's you're in the flesh then. Okay, you're not always angry when you're not always in the flesh when you're angry, but when you wake up angry, that's a sin. That's again, you know, when you go to bed angry, that's violating the scripture. He said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a command of God. To put off anger. To put away wrath. Give place to wrath. You say, well, Pastor Andrew, that's easy for you to say because you don't know what it is that's making me so mad right now. But wait a minute. What are the ways that God told us to get rid of our anger? Because it's very consistent. I showed you several scriptures and they kept repeating a lot of the same things. He said, you know what? The fact that God's going to judge ought to take away the anger. You know, here's an example of something that I got angry about this week. Okay, I'm just really getting a lot off my chest. Okay, this is part of my program for stress relief, is just to vent this to you. You know, it's a long story, but it's this business thing. Trying to do business in New Mexico. Okay, and I'm setting up my corporation. I get it all set. I jump through all these hoops, pay all these. I've literally spent like $2,500 just on all these different forms and fees and all this junk, all this government regulation junk. I get all done with it. I get something back in the mail. They're like, oh, you didn't fill out such and such the report. And so it's a $25 fee to turn in this report, but the late fee is $200. I'm like, what? An 800% late fee? So, and I tried my hardest. I mean, I'm reading all the fine print. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm filling out all this paper. I'm sending them stuff. I'm mailing it out. It's like $25 fee, but the late fee is $200. So I got mad, threw things across the room, foam at the mouth, scream and yell, you know, yell at the government and everything. Then I calm down. I'm like, I'm not even going to work in New Mexico. Forget, you know. I get all mad, finally calm down, and say, you know what? Whatever, you know. I wrote the check for $225, I mail it up. Then it just came back, like a week ago. Oh, no, actually there's two late fees. Still only the $25 fee, but there's two late fees, so send us, here's your check back for $225, we want $425. I mean, it's just extortion. $400 in a late fee. And you say, well, how late are you, Pastor Anderson? How late are you? I haven't even started working yet. Okay, I mean, like, this, it's like, it was like less than a month late. Okay? Seriously. And they're like, $400. Look, I mean, this is going to, you know, maybe it's not making you mad, but it made me mad, okay? Because I work hard for my money. I mean, I'm out working and slaving and sweating, and then somebody in some office somewhere is just thinks it's fun. Hey, let's see if we'll pay another $200, you know, and send it back to them. Not producing anything, not building anything, that made me bad. But you know what? I was angry, and I thought of it. I said, you know what? God is going to judge these people for doing this to us. God is going to judge them. They're stealing from me. They're stealing money from me, and God's going to judge them for it. And you know, that's what gave me comfort. I said, you know what? They're not going to get away with this. God's going to bless my business. I said, you know what? God's going to bless my business, and God's going to give me money. And they're the ones who are going to be without, because, you know, God's going to take care of it somehow. And I just, you know, I felt, because I believe that God does. Listen to me. I've watched it. I have seen people reap what they sow in this world. And, you know, there's heaven and hell. But in this life, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sometimes it's almost spooky the way I've seen things that go around come around. And I stood back and said, that's amazing. That's amazing that just in so exactly justice was served. And, you know, that gave me comfort. And I was able to put off that anger. And you know what? I was able, after, you know, after my initial rage, I was able to just calm down. I still haven't decided whether I'm going to send them money yet, but I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But what I'm saying is, I'm not going to let it bug me today. You know what I mean? I'm just going to live my life. And put off that anger, just put it away, let it go. You know, I'm giving you examples you may not be able to relate to. You're not a businessman, or you know. But you got examples in your mind. You got things that burn you up, that eat you up inside. You can't fly off the handle and just be mad all the time. You got to go through life peaceful and calm. There's a time to be angry. There's a time to get mad. And look, justice needs to be carried out in this earth. But you know what? It's not always our job to do it. And we ought to be able to be like Christ and be like Stephen. Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it would not be laid to their charge. He said about Onesimus, his wrong be upon me. You know, his wrong be upon me. He forgave. He let things go. And that's how we got to go through life. It's not healthy to be filled with anger and to just go through life just mad and upset and angry. You know, when somebody hurts you and does you wrong, pray for that person that they would get saved if they're not saved. You know, I've done this before. Like somebody did something really harmful to me and hurt me, and I prayed for their salvation. You know, but the guys who beat me up a few months ago, when I was in the back of the police car you know, jammed up in there, handcuffed by my back, blood coming out of my head. I mean, I was beaten pretty bad. I said, you know what? I prayed by name for all the people who'd beat me up, because I memorized their names off their name tags so that I could then sue them, you know what I mean? Of course, you know, because obviously they beat me up, and obviously justice has to be carried out so that I could, you know, I knew I had to sue them or get them punished or, you know, because obviously I was beaten for no reason. But you know what? At the same time, I said, you know what, God? I pray that they would be saved. I don't even want them to go to hell. You know, I pray that somebody would knock that door and preach them the gospel. Does that mean that I don't want justice carried out? No, justice needs to be carried out in this earth. But you know what? I believe God will take care of it. Does that mean, oh yeah, God will take care of it, so just let people off the hook? No, God's commanded us to carry out certain legal forms of justice. But you know what? Sometimes things are out of our hands, right? That's when we ought to just say, you know what? Thanks be to God. He will repay. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us with this, dear God. And boy, living in today's world, perilous times are what we live in. And there are a lot of things to be angry about. There are a lot of things to get mad about. But Father, help us to give place unto wrath. Help us to control our anger. Help us to be in control of ourselves and not let anger just consume us and eat us up. But rather help us to be peaceful and joyful. And, you know, help us to be angry when we ought to be angry. But help us to be able to put that off and not be angry without a cause or fly off the handle. Help us to be calm and collected and not just on a hair trigger, dear God. And we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go.